My father died many years ago. If there is life after death for everyone, why have I not seen him? How did he die? The teacher asked. Supposedly of consumption, sir. The way you died, explained the teacher, has created a division between you and those who went before you. As you were cut off in the prime of your earth life, your spirit needs to adjust to its new environment. When you're ready, you will be able to come close to those with whom you associated while on earth. In your father's case, he would have been met by those who loved him. They would have welcomed him and immediately taken him to rest from the conditions of death. Once recuperated, he was educated to his new environment in the same way as you are now. When the time is right, the love you have for your father and the love he was for you will automatically bring you together. Where there is love, there cannot be a permanent separation. The law of attraction guarantees this. I saw a smile cross Tom's face as he sat down. The teacher had satisfied us by answering many of our inner questions and worries. He then thanked us and left as quickly as he had come. The captain approached the rostrum and began to speak. My thanks for coming, gentlemen. You can go back to your billets, or, if you wish, you may go for a walk. Don't wander too far, there's good chaps. After the rush for the exits, I looked for Bill and caught sight of him heading towards the billet. /camp/quarters. It was such a wonderful day that I decided to go for a walk. I headed away from the hall and soon came to the countryside. After crossing some fields, I approached a river. An uncanny light danced on the water. I sat to watch the lights and enjoyed their hypnotic effect. I discovered that when I concentrated my thoughts on the lights, they altered into images of my past. This entertained me for some time. When I became bored, I remembered Chan's last words, "If you need my help, concentrate your thoughts on me." Immediately I formed a picture of him and added his name. 2 or 3 minutes passed, and then a mist appeared. It formed itself into the outline of a man and became more and more solid each second. At last, Chan stood there in all his finery. He looked as splendid as when I last saw him, and I warmed to see his recognizable, all-knowing smile. "Good day, young man," he said. "Your power of concentration is very good. I received your thought immediately and was able to direct myself by it. The system works very quickly because thought travels instantly. I was in the middle of my meditation when you called, therefore I was able to come quickly." "Meditation? What is that?" I asked. "I think I had better sit down," he said, "this may take some time." With a wave of his hand, Chan materialized a chair and sat down beside me. "That's better," he said. "I see you have been looking at the lights of the water. What have you learnt from them?"
"I don't know, but I found them most enjoyable."
"Yes," he replied, "you would because they are the lights of abstract thought. By concentrating on these lights you have started on the road to meditation. Since meditation is a key to heaven's door, let me explain more about its use. It is one of the ways to unfold the spiritual awareness deep inside the innermost part of your being. To develop that inner being, you must first come to know it and recognize its potential growth. Meditation is an aid to growth and helps develop the mind as well as the spirit. It balances the body you now have and the mental and spiritual ones you are creating. In your earth life, and now in this life, you educated the body to its environment. You must also educate the mental body. It must be trained, nourished, and made into a polished instrument for the spirit. To develop large muscles, one exercises to enlarge each muscle fiber. In the same way, we develop the mind by exercising the mental atoms. You must choose your mind to peer into the depths. The more you see, the more you learn. Your reverence for the unseen will also deepen. When you were on the earth, the astral world was the unseen and your world was reality. Now our world is your reality, and you cannot comprehend the unseen world yet to come. I nearly dozed off, so Chan stopped to ask if I were bored with what he was saying. "No," I said and pulled myself to. There was more authority in his voice as he continued,
There will be a new meaning to life as you gain control of your lower thoughts and emotions. You achieve this by giving the higher mind food for thought, spiritual food that is. You strive to attain a purely spiritual illumination. To do this, you will need a perfectly balanced mind and a well-controlled body to calm the mental vibrations, which continually act and react with the spiritual level. With meditation, you bring these forces under your control so that you become the master and not the slave. Has this answered your question?
I must be honest, I said. I really don't understand what you've been talking about.
I saw a stern look cross his face and I waited for the telling off I knew would follow.
You should have been listening more intently, he said.
I understand how difficult it is for you, especially since you have not been brought up in an Eastern religion. In my old country, meditation was a way of life. I must make allowances for you. But please understand, these teachings are for your benefit. A subtle look crept over his face which said, you will learn. We sat and talked for some time, and Chan explained more about meditation. This time I listened more carefully. I had lots of questions, and Chan provided the answers until he decided he had spoken enough on the subject.
Well, my young friend, he said, it has been a good day, and you have done extremely well. Now my job must concentrate on the practical side of your teachings. There will come a time when you will venture out on your own and work to uplift souls who are on a lower level of vibration than yourself. The plane below this one is denser, and evil gravitates there. Strengthening of your willpower is an essential part of your development because it will guard you against the evil influences of the lower plane. You were very lucky not to have fallen into the clutches of evil when you passed over. I did not intend to talk to you about the lower planes. But I think as we are on the subject, I will continue. With a wave of his hand, Chan produced a parchment. As he unrolled it, he called me over for a close look. He thought it good to show me how the planes of the astral world correspond with each other. The drawing was very impressive, and I studied it for some time. But to be honest, I could not fully understand it and asked Chan to explain it.
Well, he said, there are seven planes and each one varies in density. Each plane is inhabited by souls suited to it. This is determined by the vibrations of their astral bodies, which are controlled by their manifested thoughts. The astral plane, as you know, is semi-material. It also has something similar to space and position. Time also exists, though in a more fluid form than on Earth. Each of these planes has many divisions known as time zones, which house souls who belong to that period of time. Many of those souls are able to travel from one time period to another. But most are happiest in familiar surroundings. I interrupted Chan by asking if he lived in his own time period.
Yes, I do, when I get the chance, he replied. My work is mostly in this time period. You will find in this plane's divisions that the inhabitants are less graded and sorted out than in the higher planes. On this plane, life approximates closely to life on Earth. Yet you will find men of different nationalities discussing abstruse problems by means of telepathy, nearly as completely as we do on the higher planes. There are two planes that I have yet to talk about. These are the two lowest where there are no divisions. They mold into one. I will use an example. With another wave of his hand, Chan materialized an onion, which he said was perfect for his demonstration. He held it in front of me and began to explain the significance of the onion. The center core is the densest part. Imagine the astral planes in the same way. The center is the densest form of matter, and each layer outside the center is consecutively finer and bigger. The earth plane is the third division, as seen by us. And evil reigns supreme over the two below the earth. The first plane is frequently talked about in your churches and is called hell. It is a negation of all that is totally good and is the battleground for the evil passions that sink there from earth. At times the sheer force of these evil passions becomes personified. It sends roots deep into the second and the third planes. These roots feed on the evil passions and hatred generated by war.
The forms arising from this evil are often seen on the battleground. One such form is the Angel of Death. The living and dying see it as a large shadowy figure, which blots out the sun as it covers the battlefield. It becomes stronger and bigger as the emotions of war increase. It is in wars, such as this one, that evil in its lowest form pushes its way out of hell and overflows into the second and third planes. The roots of evil tap into the power of the Angel of Death and replenish its power as it pushes to dominate other planes. The newly slain are also used by the evil elements in its climb out of the pit of hell. A shiver came over me as Chan described the evil of these lower planes. To think I too could have been used. I remembered that Chan had remarked about hell before. You mean to say hell really exists? I asked. That is what I have been telling you, he said. I have not ventured into the first plane, but I have worked within the boundaries of the second. What I witnessed was extremely upsetting. I have talked enough for now on this subject. Before Chan could utter another word, I asked him if he would continue. I was captivated with what he had been saying. He continued, "Well, if you wish, I will describe what I witnessed there. It is a place where evil mortals sink into their various sins of obsession. These souls wander aimlessly around in the mire they have made for themselves. A dense mist covers everything. There is no landscape and no buildings, instead there are great canyons where degenerate mortals lurk as they fast drift into hell. They live in slimy, filthy shelters between the rocks. There are no animals because the souls of animals cannot sink to these depths. The souls are there by their own making and desires. At times, when evil is on the march, it uses these degenerate mortals as its army of darkness. Darkness cannot hide from the powers of light, but it can from the newly slain. It can also hide from those on the earth plane by disguising itself to take advantage of man's lower emotions. This is done in the same way that an actor dresses differently for his roles in different plays. Although they are dead to the earth plane, these degenerates crave the pleasures of the body. They are certainly alive on the plane where they are. Their desires are much stronger than when they were on earth. They are linked with a mass of like-minded souls, thus creating a powerful driving force. This will eventually spill into the earth plane and prey on human beings still in the flesh. Their victims will be of like mind. For example, those who practice the black arts will be victims of their own desires. Those who are always drunk and the lower types of criminals will become victims of these obsessive souls. They entwine themselves with their victims in order to gratify their own burning desires. You see many of these beings crowded around drinking dens and houses of ill repute. They wait to enter the aura of their victims. I know I have not spoken to you about auras yet, but I will. I could not move a muscle. Every part of my body was tense with fear. Chan asked if he should continue. Without hesitation, I answered in the affirmative. When the degenerates gain entry into the aura of their victims, they stay until they are shaken free. This can be accomplished by the individual himself or by an exorcist. If freedom is not achieved, the entity takes control of the earth body by dominating the weak soul's personality. Chan now occurs, with an ensuing fight for expression. First, the earth soul hears voices which tell him to do things that are against his better judgment. The voices are so dominating that the weak soul can only obey by acting completely out of character. When the possession gets too bad, a doctor is generally called. In the worst cases, the patient may be institutionalized. Out of desperation, doctors often call this condition schizophrenia and certainly have no real idea of the problem. Do keep in mind that all those who drink or indulge in the gratification of the body are not always evil people. Some are weak-willed and are led by those who are themselves led by evil. It was my job to go with others to find these lost and bewildered souls and explain to them they were making conditions for themselves, which would be hard to overcome. We also try to explain that they are being used by a much more malignant force, and that if they do not turn from their path, they will be lured into hell. Generally, this gives them something to think about. We call this the placing of the seed, and hopefully it will take root. We want them to see the light and find themselves. Nobody is ever lost or can be lost, because the spark of life is within all. But he can sink so low as to be nearly extinguished. At times, evil beings attack us if they think we are having success with one of their legions. This is why you are taught to control your willpower, because it is your will that guards you and keeps you safe. You will learn never to be afraid. The greatest enemy is fear itself, so you must be confident in the love and wisdom of God. Darkness will not touch you if you radiate light. Thus, by the power of will, we are able to send the evil beings back to their own plane to be submerged in evil passions. I have now explained a little about my work before I was assigned to your well-being. This helps explain why I was chosen to be your teacher. You too have the quality and strength to become a rescuer. Not bloody likely, I said as I jumped up to stretch my legs. A broad grin came across Chan's face. Well, we will have to wait and see, he said. Would you care to take a chair? Yes, I said, the ground is rather hard. With a wave of his hand, another chair appeared. I thanked him and made myself comfortable. He continued, when evil pushes into the third plane, there is a confrontation between the forces of good and evil. We battle to send the evil forces back. Sometimes evil is very strong and pushes us back, but not for long. We call for help from higher souls who in turn call the Lords of Light into the fray. With their help, we push the evil army back. In the confusion to hide from the light, their army becomes a shambles, but it does not end here. The Lords of Light chase them from the earth plane into the second plane. Their light confuses all who are evil, and the beaten army is no more. When you passed out of your physical body, you saw something of the third plane. That is where your story began. For new souls, it is a misty place of thoughts and reasons. There are other planes, as I have stated. You are on the fourth plane and are in a time zone appropriate for your well-being. You are learning how to adjust to your new life. And, as you gain knowledge, you will become more conscious of your true self and of the God force within. Soon you will be preparing for your next stage of existence. As the vibrations of your mental atoms increase, your astral body will change. Just as a butterfly breaks free from its cocoon to emerge into a new world, so will you. It is a slower process with you than with the butterfly, but your new world is much more refined. This process occurs on all the planes from the first to the seventh. Each plane has the correct conditions for its growing souls. Now, let me tell you something of the plane where I live. It is the sixth, bordering on the seventh, which means I am getting ready for my birth into the heavenly sphere. This is similar to your death on the physical plane and your rebirth onto this one. Through my work, others have been uplifted and I have also earned rebirth for myself. This is the only path to follow. In time, you too will find the correct work. Do you remember the tailor? Yes, I do, I answered. He was a very helpful man. I meant to ask you about him and the place where he works. Chan began this story, that soul worked all his life as a tailor and loved his work. He enjoyed meeting people, and, because of this, his days on earth were happy. When he came over here, he still wanted to work. It would have been no good to put him into another occupation. He was given the task of clothing new souls until they can create their own clothes. Most people still have the desire to work. Although when they first come here, their reaction is often, "Thank God, I don't have to work anymore." This does not last long because throughout life they have been conditioned to work. After a well-earned rest, they are introduced to a job that gives them a great deal of pleasure. Everybody works in one way or another, but here the work is carried out without payment. It is given in love as most people enjoy their work. It is a means of carrying the weight of their own responsibilities. I understand this, I said. I would become bored if I had nothing to do but sit around all day. Do you mind if I ask a question? Not at all, he replied. So I asked, those shops we visited, how did they get there?
A good question, he answered. The town and the shops exist on the earth plane. We have copied them so the new souls will immediately feel at home. To deprive them of the things they knew and understood when on earth would create a mental imbalance. So we are very careful to create an environment similar to the one they have just left. Of course, there are much greater things here than towns, houses and churches. Your country also exists. England is still England. A map would show that China too is in the usual place. The only difference between the earth and here is the way we live. Remember, Jim, what I said about distance. By using will and thought, I can travel from one place to another on the opposite side of the world in only a moment. Thus distance is overcome by controlled thought. We will continue shortly with a lesson in controlling your thought. The teaching guide to whom you were introduced lives on the seventh plane. He is a wonderful soul who works solely for the uplifting of humanity. He has evolved beyond the seventh plane into the spirit world. As he wishes to continue his work on the lower planes, he must remain under the manifestation of the astral planes, which differ from the spirit plane. All astral matter ceases to exist on the spirit plane, and only pure spirit functions there. The dividing line between the two is very fine. But, I can assure you, working towards the spirit plane is a worthy goal. There are many souls who hold back their evolutionary stage in order to help others. In my case, I have a long way to go. Have you any more questions?
No, thank you, I said.
Good, he replied, we will start your training now. If you would like to get up, we can get rid of these chairs. I pulled myself up and moved from the chair, and, with a wave of his hand, the chairs disappeared. As before, I found this intriguing and remembered that Chan had said he'd show me how to do it.
Right, he said. First we will visit your billet. It is a good opportunity to start using your own steam for travel. Think of the place you wish to be and hold that thought in your mind. Next place your willpower on the thought and pull.
Try it, Jim.
Righto, I said. I closed my eyes, thought of my billet and found it easy to picture immediately. I started to pull myself onto my thought. A sense of lightness swept over me, followed by a peculiar feeling of movement. Yet, as far as I could ascertain, I had not taken one step forwards. It must have startled me because Chan shouted out, "Stop! You look like a frog out of water. That is not the way, now try again. Concentrate more this time."
Well, here goes, I said. I pictured my billet and concentrated my will on it. This time I held the picture firmly in my mind. Again I felt myself moving. It felt more like riding on a bumpy train than flying through the air. My curiosity got the better of me, and I opened my eyes. This was the worst thing I could have done because I lost all concentration and immediately fell. I came down with a bit of a bang but was lucky to land among some bushes. As I pulled myself up, I caught sight of some young ladies standing near me.
"Good day," I said as I brushed myself off. I thought I would drop in. This brought fits of laughter. I too saw the funny side of what I had said and joined in. One of them spoke briefly to me, "We can see you're new here, but keep trying." They turned and went on their way.
"So that is where you are," a voice called. I turned to see Chan's smiling face.
"So what went wrong?" I asked.
"Quite simply a loss of concentration," he said. "This is something you must not do if you wish to move anywhere by the power of thought. As to where you are, look around." I did as Chan suggested.
It looks like a park," I said.
"That is exactly right," he replied. "You overshot your destination. Your billet lies 2 miles in the other direction."
"Oh dear," I uttered, "how did I manage that?" I knew full well what I had done wrong but was not about to say so.
"Well, what do I do now?" I asked.
"Try again, of course," he said. "But this time do not open your eyes." I went as red as a beetroot, fully forgetting that Chan could read my thoughts.
"Do not worry," he said.
I did not expect you to get it correct the first time. As a matter of fact, you have done extremely well. Are you ready to try again? This time I did exactly as I was told. I held the thought of my billet firmly in my mind, and this time I kept my eyes tightly closed. As quickly as the moving feeling began, it stopped. As I opened my eyes, I was met by my old friend. "Where in the world did you come from?" Bill asked with a look of disbelief as he pulled himself up from his bed. "I've done it, Bill, I've done it," I cried. "I've come here without walking through the door." "Yes, I can see that," he said. "It's nice to see you again. You seem to be coping well with what has happened. I'm pleased for you." There was a quiver on Bill's lips as he lay back on his bed. This worried me, so I moved closer to him to find out if I could do anything. I was startled by a hand on my shoulder and Chan's voice saying, "Leave him. He will be all right. Come, take hold of my arm. I have a surprise for you." "Surprise? What surprise?" I asked. He lifted his hand towards me, and when I took hold, he said, "Close your eyes." A moving sensation began within moments. Only this time it was much stronger than I had experienced with my own efforts to travel. I sensed Chan's total control. As quickly as the feeling had begun, it ended. "You can open your eyes now," he said, "and tell me what you see." Slowly I opened my eyes, only to find myself in a mist. "Where are we?" I asked. "Use your power of concentration to clear away the mist," explained Chan. Once again I closed my eyes and used the full force of my willpower to clear the mist. I smiled and gave myself a pat on the back. At least I did it right this time. I found myself in very familiar surroundings and immediately recognized my old home. I wandered around the room, nothing had altered. The table was in the same place, and the sideboard was still underneath the window. I turned and asked Chan, "Why have you brought me here?" "Wait and see," he said. The handle of the door turned and in walked my mother. Tears immediately formed in my eyes. With arms outstretched I rushed towards her, but I went straight through her. I turned for Chan's help. He mentally commanded me to stop. This was the first time I heard someone talking inside my head. It was not to be the last. I stopped on the spot, and Chan came across to me because he saw I was getting into quite a pickle. "I'll dot left only to illustrate not the real involved parents. Calm down, my friend," he said, "your mother cannot see or hear you. The bond between you goes beyond physical death, and, in a mother's way, she knows you are here. Now we will have to go until you learn to control your emotions. On these visits you will have to adjust to your parents' emotional vibrations because they are still grieving for the loss of their only son. It is this grief that disturbs the ether around them. It is the sadness of their thoughts that affects you as you enter their mental area. I have kept you from these conditions to give you time to adjust and to become stronger in yourself. If you had come straight here from the battlefield, you would not have wanted to leave. Eventually you would have decided to leave but would have been unable to break away from the vibrations of your family. Your home then would have become a prison, with you earthbound to the emotional conditions there. Without help from one such as I or from a medium working in conjunction with us, you might have been trapped in your prison long after your parents' deaths." Chan stepped forward and placed his hand on my shoulder. Within moments we were back in the billet. It seemed we had never left, but I knew that for those fleeting moments of memory I had been back with those I loved. "Well, I said it would be a surprise for you," remarked Chan. "It was not meant to upset you but only to prove that you can visit your loved ones. In time you will be able to travel to the earth plane whenever you wish. First you must gain more self-control and, of course, more willpower. I will leave you now so that you can rest and think over your first steps of freedom." Chan stood aside, and within moments he had gone. I looked around the room hoping to find someone to talk to. But no, I had the place to myself. I moved to my bed, lay down, and started to think over Chan's last words, "Your first steps of freedom." He must have been referring to my first pathetic attempt to travel to the billet. I thought about my mother and my pleasure in having been given the opportunity to visit her. I longed to hold her, to tell her that I was all right, and that there is no death.